So, it's Mother's Day. We're looking at the Ten Commandments, not as a list of do's and don'ts, but as a description of how the Lord wants us to live our lives. When the Holy Spirit is in charge, when the Holy Spirit's in charge of our lives, those ten statements should kind of exemplify, should describe what things are like in our lives. Jesus asks us to make disciples, lifelong learners, and we can only do that effectively, not by making each other stick to a list of rules, but by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives to make us more like Jesus. So we've called the series Spirit-Empowered Discipleship. We've looked at our relationship with God and at worship, how we speak about our Heavenly Father. We've looked at how we spend our time, the importance of rest and responding to God's call in our lives. But today it's Mother's Day, so we're going to look at honouring our parents. Because if this Christianity business means anything at all, it needs to impact on our family life. So let's have a look at spirit-empowered family life. And I guess I could spend ages going through the practicalities of how you bring up children and how to relate to your elderly parents, but I don't plan to do much of that because I think there's probably more wisdom in this room than I could ever have. And actually, because I think God wants us to focus on something else, which is this. If you want the whole of my talk summed up in a single sentence, it's this. Why should we honour our parents? We should honour our parents because when we do so, we reflect who God is and his love for us and our love for him. Let me say that again. We should honour our parents because when we do so, we reflect who God is and his love for us and our love for him. And actually, when we don't honour our parents, I think we also dishonour God as well. So you might be saying at this point, well, nothing wrong with that, Andrew, but where do you get all that from? Well, just hang on in there for a few moments and let's see where we get to. Let's go back to first principles. What does the Bible say in Genesis 1 about what human beings are like? Human beings were made in the image of God. Fantastic. So if we want to know what God is like, we're surrounded by visual aids. Look around you. Look around you. When I meet God face to face, I don't think he's going to look like an octopus or a filing cabinet or something, you know. He's going to look like you and me. Do you remember I showed this painting a couple of weeks ago? That's the painting of the creation of Adam from the Sistine Chapel. And one of the problems I mentioned was Michelangelo, who painted that. The problem was he painted God about the same size as Adam. And of course, that's wrong because God is much more extraordinary and huge than we are. But the thing he got right was that actually he painted God, he's the guy with the beard on the right, looking like a human being. Now remember, though, that human beings were created in the image of God, and human beings, if you notice, are male and female. So God has aspects of his character which reflect both male and female. So if you like, he's the ultimate parent. He's the father and the mother of us all. He's like the loving father in Jesus' story of the lost son. But also, the Bible compares him to our mother, a bird hiding her chicks under her wings. It's what Jesus says. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you. How often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. So when we love and care and nurture and discipline our children, we reflect his love. Because that's the way life's meant to work. When we live a spirit-empowered family life, I believe the parents end up reflecting the love of God the Father. We become a visual aid to the world of what God is actually like. So, today's Mother's Day. I had a wonderful mum. Some of you knew my mum. Might talk about her a bit more later. She'd do anything for me. She wasn't perfect, but she loved me like only a mother could. I remember all my time, those times that my mum comforted me and cared for me. What does the Bible say about God? As a mother comforts a child, so will I comfort you. And you will be comforted over Jerusalem, Isaiah 63. And then the Lord says, Isaiah 49, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. That's the love of a mother as well as a heavenly father. See, the best mothers and fathers reflect the love of God himself. So how should we relate to our parents? Well, of course, misunderstandings can easily occur. I heard this week of one day a mother came home to see her two children. And Susie was sitting in the garden pond and Alec was sitting on the cat writing away at something. "What on earth are you doing?" she asked Alec. "Well, the teacher told us to write an essay on our favourite animal. That's why I'm sitting on the cat and that's why Susie's sitting in the garden pond." See, it's easy to get our wires crossed, isn't it? We had a classic story that Lorna read to us from Luke chapter 2. Jesus knew exactly what he was about, and he was really focused and preoccupied like only a child or an adolescent can be. Mary and Joseph were preoccupied with the rest of the family. It's a bit like the movie Home Alone. Has anybody seen Home Alone? One of my favourite films. I love Home Alone, especially Home Alone 2. I love that, okay? Somehow Jesus got left behind. And it's really easy for parents and children to get their wires crossed and to conflict. That's what the story of the lost son is all about. And in fact, the whole of the Bible is about how a loving father creates a beautiful garden, then leaves the kids to their own devices, and they trash everything up, and they fall out with dad and each other. And anyway, it's a bit like that, isn't it? Look at that. And dad has to step in eventually and sort out the mess. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? But God makes it crystal clear what sort of family life he wants for us. Exodus 20. "Honor your father and your mother, so you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you," which, as Paul points out in Ephesians 6, is the first commandment with a promise. Now, we know our Father God is infinitely compassionate. I love these verses. Psalm 103. This is every good dad and every good mum. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Just the story that Claire told about her mum. She'd completely forgotten about it already. "As a father or mother has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him." And so what he longs for is a deep and lasting relationship of love for him. And every time I prepare one of these talks about the Ten Commandments, which you would have thought, we've always been taught it's just a list of rules to obey, the Lord takes me back to our verse of the year. Love the Lord your God. That's what he wants. He wants us to love him with all your heart and soul and all your and your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he's longing for. As we love God and each other, we reflect his love for us. We reflect who he is, how he wants us to relate to him. So should we honor our parents? Because when we do so, we reflect who God is and his love for us and our love for him. So can you see that the parent-child relationship at its best reflects who God is? And at its worst, reflects the rebellion against God that actually we're all guilty of. Which means that if we don't honour our parents, I truly believe it's going to be very difficult for us to relate to God as well. Because I kind of feel God saying, look, you can see your parents. They're right there in front of you. I've given them to love you and for you to love and honour as they've loved and honoured you. If you can't love and honour your parents, what makes you think you can love and honour me? Now, of course, I completely understand that no human parent is like our Heavenly Father. And many parents are abusive and manipulative and violent. But for all that, they still brought us into the world. And the Lord intends that as best we can, we should honour them. So what could that mean? Well, I had an amazing illustration of this last year. I went to a funeral of a man I'd never met, but he was a friend. He was the father of a very close friend of mine called Paul Newnham. Some of you remember Paul. If I show you this, there we are. I don't know if you remember Paul and Angie. That's Paul and Angie Newnham. They're down at Sitholm. They led the worship at Sitholm when we had a church weekend there a couple of years ago. And Paul is one of the best fathers I've come across. But he had one of the worst fathers I've come across. He didn't find out how to be a father from his dad. He found out how to be a father from God. It's extraordinary. And his father was an alcoholic. He frittered money away. He was in and out of prison all his life. In the end, Paul's mum, Wendy, who I also know, had to leave him when Paul was about eight. And she just took the children with her, I think when his dad was out of the house. And they just left for good. And it was years before Paul saw him again. And in the end of his life, his dad was in and out of prison right the way through the rest of his life. But Paul was amazing. Because right to the end of his father's life, Paul carried on keeping in contact with him. He visited him in prison. He shared the gospel with him. He supported him as much as he could. He gave him money. And he honored his father in a way that his father had never honored him. And it was deeply moving to go along to his funeral in Salisbury. And Paul got up and he gave a tribute to his father. And he didn't talk about all the bad times. He talked about the good times, and there were some good times. When he was very young, he talked about how his dad used to take him for walks and taught him how to fish and told him stories. And, you know, Paul was reflecting the love that God has for him and that he has for God. It was extraordinary. So how do we honor our parents? Well, I think the answer is we reflect God's love for us. First of all, we need to keep communicating with them. Just as God longs that we spend time with him, talking to him, praying to him, listening to him, your parents long for that too. When she was with us, my mum always wanted to chat, especially on the phone. My mum, like her son, was an extrovert. Okay, she loved phones. Extroverts love phones. If you're an extrovert, you love phones. Okay, if you're an introvert, you don't like phones. All right, you love phones, don't you, Claire? Do you love phones? You have to chat. There we are. Yeah. And my dad didn't, you see. So I'd be speaking to my mum for about 20 minutes and she'd love to chat away. And then she'd say, do you want to speak to your father? I said, yeah, fine. And my dad would come on the phone. He said, well, there's nothing to say. Your mother said everything. So, but, you know, parents love their children to communicate with them. So if you've got a mum and dad, communicate with them. Secondly, we honour our parents by spending time with them. God our Father wants to spend much more time with us than ever we want to spend time with him. Sure, I've told you this story before, but when my son, who's a very kind of perceptive young man, phoned me up a couple of years ago and he said, Daddy, I was been praying for you and I feel I've got a question for you. And I said, yeah. So he said, why did you go into full-time ministry as a vicar? So I said, well, it's because I really felt I could make a contribution. I felt I wasn't doing a proper job as a lawyer or a proper job as a minister. So I thought I'd opt for one rather than the other. And this was the right moment. And he said, that's all true. But I felt God say something else to me. He said, I felt God say to me, to pass on to you, the reason I wanted you to become a vicar was so you could spend more time with me. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And parents want us to spend time with them. Because just remember how much time our parents spent with us when we were small. They spent years. We honor our parents when we keep short accounts with them. We know what we need to do. We need to do this with the Lord, don't we? What does it say in 1 John? If we claim we have no to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. When we're with parents, disputes and controversies will occur. If we allow them to get unacknowledged and not repented for and not faced up to, families can be divided for decades. We need to receive forgiveness from our parents, and we need to forgive them sometimes. We honor our parents by being patient with them as God is patient with us. Thank God the Lord is patient with us. We've already read it, haven't we? The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. When our parents get older, they probably need a bit more patience than when they were younger. They kind of move more slowly and their ideas might seem a bit stuck in the past. But we need to remember all the times they were patient with us, clearing up our mess, helping us with our homework, comforting us in the middle of the night when we couldn't sleep and they were dead tired. All those times. Need to be patient. And finally, we honour our parents when we care for them as God cares for us. It was by God's amazing goodness and care for us that he came to earth in the person of Jesus and faced death to give his life for us, so we didn't need to face death ourselves, but could win new life through his death. What does it say in Romans 6? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not stretching a point to say not only did our parents give us life, but in the early years of our lives, when we were tiny and vulnerable and defenseless, if they hadn't cared for us, we would have been dead. You know, a six-month-old child or a one-year-old child can't find its own food, can't change its own nappy, can't look after itself. If they hadn't cared for us, we wouldn't have been dead. The fact we are here today is a tribute to their love and care, which, can you see, which reflects the Father's love and care. So can you see that if we honour our parents, we'll reflect God's image in us, and people will look and say, this Christianity stuff really works? Really works? So it doesn't surprise me that the commandment says if we honour our parents, we'll live long in the land God is providing, because we're living out our lives in the way that God designed. What I want to, shall I show you a picture of my mum? That's my mum. She lovely. She was lovely. And came to know the Lord just before she died.